On the line, I've got Juliet McConachy from the Terrasoma gathering that's happening at the Old School this weekend. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, first of all, do you just want to start off, just describe for people what's going to be happening this weekend, what you'll be doing here in town?
Sure. So we have two classes or workshop events happening, Saturday and Sunday, 1 a.m. till 4 p.m. on Saturday and 10 a.m. till 1 on Sunday. And Saturday we'll be exploring in a more of a yoga context this particular style and way of practice, which is Terrasoma. And on the Sunday, we'll be exploring more through dance, this Terrasoma approach. So I've taken inspiration from an incredible article by a man named Martin Shaw, a storyteller from England, and we're going to explore how do we take these beautiful ideas and make them accessible in the body.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I read here that Terrasoma is, I'll quote it, is an integrative practice that unfurls where tantric insight and hatha yoga meet dance, eco-psychology, contemporary somatic therapy and the body of the mythic. And I have to be honest, I didn't understand everything, but I was really intrigued by what that might result in. Can you elaborate on what all that means?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so it's quite a braid of influence there to bring kind of, if you imagine a braided river and how different strands of the river in a braided river come together. And sometimes there's more of a flow coming from one part of the river or more of a flow coming from another. So in this way, we're exploring with Tantra and Hatha Yoga. And Hatha Yoga comes from Tantric Yoga. And eco-psychology, which is... Eco-psychology is another way of saying what traditional cultures have lived for many years. It's just a very westernized way of saying the body is embedded in land and in relationship with nature and creature and season. And, yeah, so eco-psychology is this way that we're kind of calling something that's innately known in our bodies, but not necessarily in that kind of in our prefrontal cortex in the cognitive space that we spend most of our waking days focused on. So sometimes we're coming more from that lens, and then within that comes myth and story and the world of the imagination. Yeah, so all of these pieces come into to give us an embodied experience that's, it's hard to talk about, actually. It's hard to kind of, and it makes sense that it's not something that the head can wrap itself around easily.
Mm. Can we try to wrap around just one other bit, somatic therapy? What is that?
Yeah, great. Okay, so soma is, one way of describing soma is the body as experienced from the inside.
Yep.
Yeah. So somatic therapy is working with what is this body experience from the inside, not just from the thoughts which are also inside the body, but what else arises when I take time to sit with and feel and experience myself. So for many years we've been kind of in the overculture, Western overculture, focused much on mindset and thoughts, and how do we create better thoughts. Mm. And there's a new wave coming through, and it's not so new. In fact, it's very old, but it's newly kind of growing in recognition, especially in trauma work, that there's so much happening in the body beyond thoughts and beyond cognition, that actually we can work directly with ourselves, with the intelligence of our body, beyond what we can understand. And heal into a kind of harmonious whole system, body space. Yeah, beyond just the cognition. Does that make sense?
Is that enough? Think, I think a lot of us are familiar with the idea that staying purely intellectual. I think a lot of us know now that's not really the solution to everything. If we don't work it out ourselves, eventually our body will tell us anyway as we get older.
Yeah, that's right.
Is this something you've gradually been developing yourself, this approach?
Mm. I came through a school called Embodied Flow for about 7 or 8 years, and I believe some of the Raglan community have also studied with this school, and they have, again, many strands of influence. One of them is a body of work called body-mind centering, and that's quite well-known within the kind of dance and yoga somatics world. And so that part of somatics got introduced to me through embodied flow. And I was with them for maybe 7 or 8 years before I started to run one of their yoga teacher training programs. And a couple of years into teaching that, I just found that there was this really important thread for me, which was the eco-somatics, that I couldn't kind of put down. So TerraSoma came out of needing to bring in this earth-based relational being, bring in that kind of conversation, this mythic conversation, and bring that alive, yeah, within the practice. But it's, I can't, you know, I don't know if we can all, if we can ever say something's original. It's always moving from somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm dancing with something quite beautiful, and I enjoy dancing with it, but I don't take too much ownership of the creation.
So is it, I mean, I guess you start off, you say, intellectually, you know, something needs to, some work needs to happen, but but you're saying that the physical way is the way, physical activity is the way into it. Is that part of it?
Yeah, yeah. So often we come to yoga or therapy because something's not working, something's uncomfortable, something's, yeah, we're struggling in some way. And we want, you know, the cognition part of us, this beautiful part of us that wants to find ease, is a part of the whole community of our body. So it's working on behalf of everything. And then the idea is that we can create a sense of bodyfulness. We talk about mindfulness, which is some are kind of the same thing, but bodyfulness, bringing more awareness that the whole body is, has intelligence, and that what arises within our physicality can kind of light up within the space of our cognition. And then there's things that get told to that prefrontal brain through experience that, okay, this is perhaps what's going on for me. And maybe I didn't have the light of awareness for that yet, but now as I've, you know, shone a torch on this part of my body, I can see, okay, that's potentially ready to move in its next layer of growth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to look at, you talked about this article that Martin Shaw has written called Navigating the Mysteries. If people do a Google search on that, they'll find it. And one of the first things I thought was, and this relates to what you were saying before, is that this sounds like an approach to understanding the world that sounds more like traditional culture or Stone Age culture even than what we do with our more intellectual approach. Can you kind of summarize what he's saying? given that he's not here, so
he's not here.
Someone has
to do it. I would love to, and I'd also love to say that Martin's a storyteller, like an old-time storyteller, folk tales and myths, and when we listen to a story, so much happens personally, just in the listening. So much comes up. You know, when you're being told a tale and it'll remind you of something, and then you go off on your own kind of thread, and each person has their own relationship to the story. So I'm going to summarize my understanding and my relationship.
Yep.
But I also, you know, really encourage people, especially if you're coming along to the event, to read the article yourself and feel so much permission and freedom to take whatever it evokes for you. I think Martin's very skillful, and what he's written is exquisite, and I think it will open different doors for different people. But let me give you my kind of summary. In fact, let's do this. Why don't we do this together? So he says that we're moving from this reframe of living with uncertainty. Maybe that's familiar. Have you heard that? Like going around, that there's this idea that we're going to get into this catchphrase of through these COVID times now, we're living with uncertainty.
Do you know what? I don't know if I've heard the phrase, but it immediately resonates as if I have been hearing it a lot.
Yes, I feel like I haven't heard it a lot, but it's certainly something that feels like, oh, that's kind of percolating a little bit.
Yeah.
So if you do this, if you say to yourself the words living with uncertainty.
Well, it doesn't sound like something I want to do.
It doesn't, yeah. And what happens in your body just as you say those words, do you notice anything in your breath or your muscles?
It's generally anxiety-inducing, really.
Yeah, it doesn't feel awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then navigating the mystery, if you say those words to yourself, that actually this is the time to be navigating the mystery.
It definitely feels better.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with this idea of living with uncertainty. And really, we're always living with uncertainty. And I think once we step onto a spiritual path or it doesn't even have to be any kind of spiritual awareness, but I think most people understand that life is not entirely predictable, that there's a lot that's uncertain. So there's truth in that, and we don't need to throw it out. But what happens when we kind of put that reframe for ourselves, what happens for me in my body is I get a bit of space, I get a bit of breath, and that brings more life force and more energy to my body, and that helps my whole system do all the different processes that it needs to do. So in these times that we're all navigating together now globally, of having been through such a kind of shake-up to what felt like a perhaps a bit more of a certain kind of pathway. You know, 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You could go out and you could go and study what you wanted to study, and hopefully you'd get a job, and hopefully da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
But that seems to have been shaken. That was kind of the thing that we, perhaps as an overculture, not necessarily all cultures, but put our certainty into. And that's being shaken, and that's disturbing people's sense of peace, I think, or sense of, I know what I'm doing, I'm confident, I'm on the path, and so many things disturb that, but that can be one thing that gets upset within that disruption.
Yeah. We've been talking a lot here on the radio lately about on my show about the sense of uncertainty that everyone has at the moment, and it's kind of making people grumpy or reactive, you know, to put it quite bluntly. But behind that, of course, behind that is the uncertainty and the anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't do what I always did to get where I always thought I would go. It's kind of, and it makes sense that that's frustrating, especially if you've put a lot of your life into a certain direction.
Mm.
So what I feel so beautiful about this article is it's asking us to widen the lens. Martin offers these 4 different approaches, 4 different kind of breadcrumbs, little guiding steps into this this way of seeing. And one of them is to move from seeing to beholding.
Okay.
And even that's another one to feel in your body. Like when you see something, what happens as to when you behold something. Does that feel similar to you from these two, living with uncertainty to navigating the mystery?
You are talking to a middle-aged white guy who's not in touch with his feelings that way.
You have a body, though. Have a body.
Yeah, somewhere down there below my head. Yeah. I do agree. I do agree. Like you are, we are getting that kind of similar thing again.
Yeah. So seeing is quite a narrowing, isn't it? So we go when we see something, we go in and we can kind of analyze directly what we're looking at and the focusing. Whereas when we're beholding, we're widening our gaze to take something in. And so what that does, for me, it's the same thing as navigating the mystery. I widen my gaze. That doesn't have to be just my visual gaze, but my presence to take in what's here now.
Beholding doesn't feel like something that I have to get right.
Yeah.
That there's a specific way of doing it, and heaven help me if I don't get it right.
That's lovely.
It's missing all that. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, and then we can perhaps just sit where we are and be in a wider story. So what I like to pull out of this article is this invitation to move perhaps out of the story that we've been in of perpetuating economic expansion and growth to, okay, what other stories of our time are available to us? What other ways can we live and be in the world? And that's complicated because we're so used to a very human-centered way of being. And this story is like, oh, I can have relationships with the mountains that I walk in. I can have relationships with the river. I can be supported and guided by the creatures that surround the land that I'm on. Or, you know, they're foreign ideas for a lot of people within a Western framework.
I think more people are ready for something like this at the moment because of the disruption that's gone on.
I think so too. I'm really hopeful for that. I think so too. Yeah, because and that's what a shake-up does. It kind of puts you on the true ground of your life. It says, "Hey, this is where you are." You know, that whole thing that you had of 1 + 1 = 2, that was never certain anyway. That was all made up anyway. Mm. This is really where you are. And I think once you're standing, I think it was, what's the name of the woman who wrote the Harry Potter books?
Anyway. I can never remember. It'll come to me after the interview, of course.
Yes, that's right. Anyway, I think she said rock bottom was the stable ground upon which I built my life.
Oh, right. J.K. Rowling, there we go, J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was her. Yeah. And I really like that. And I feel like this is, a lot of people have hit a real rock bottom. And once you get, you know, if we imagine that in the earth, that's dark. And once you're in the dark, your senses pick up. You know, your sense of hearing, your skin stands up on end, and you start to develop the capacity to see in the dark. More becomes available to you in a different way than how you were seeing before.
Mm. So, Juliet, you're down in Golden Bay, I believe.
Yes, I live down there. Yeah,
yeah, developing this kind of approach. But what's motivated you to get on the road and come up here to Raglan?
Visiting family and friends. Yeah, just having a holiday trip away. Yeah.
Okay, that
sounds
good.
And I have some wonderful students around this area, and so. It's an opportunity just to get together and to explore and play in this way. There's not a lot of places for people who are... This is quite a specific kind of confluence of ideas. Mm. But there's not a lot of classes and spaces for people to explore these ideas coming together. So when we get a chance to gather, it's very exciting. We've got a wholesome, playful, curious community of people that are interested in this work. So,
yeah. Do you find that Takaka is quite similar to Raglan in many ways?
We don't have the surf, so that creates a real different.
Well, that's different. But I remember, I drove. It was quite a while ago now, but I remember driving into Takaka and just going down the main street, and I was like, "Oh, this feels quite familiar." Even though it looked different, but it still kind of felt similar. In a way.
Yeah. I could say that there'd be sister cities, but we miss out on the joy of having a surf culture. But we get to swim in these kind of calm baths of oceans, which can be very relaxing.
Yeah. That is a significant difference, I think.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, if we had that, the place would be bigger, I think, because it is such a beautiful wee town. But yeah, it's pretty sleepy in the winter.
Yeah.
Pretty sleepy at the moment. Yeah.
Oh, it's pretty quiet here too, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, folks, sorry to leap in there. We're talking to Juliet McConachy, and this weekend, Terra Soma gathering at the old school. Do you just want to remind people now that they've heard a little bit about what's behind it, what's happening again, and before we sign off?
Yeah, sure. So we've got about 3 hours each day, Saturday and Sunday, to explore through conversation, contemplation, pranayama, which is breathing practices, meditation, yoga, and free movement. Or you could say dance, but if you're not interested in dance, you can say free movement. that might free you up a bit.
Yep.
But that's from 1 to 4 on Saturday and 10 to 1 on the Sunday. And you can jump on my website, julietmcconachie.com, and book a ticket, or you can find me through social media, Juliet McConachie, and you can just send me a message to book in. Or you can just turn up. It's at Stewart Street, 5 Stewart Street.
Yeah, everybody knows where the old school is, so that you can always find that. No trouble.
Awesome.
Yeah, we've also got a link on our What's On guide if people are looking on the Reckon Community Radio website.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Yeah,
that's so awesome.
Yeah, it's been really interesting to chat to you, Juliet, and I hope you have a good weekend this weekend.